Hello, everybody. Can everybody hear me? Yeah. Excellent. Sometimes I get a little loud, so if I do, go ahead and turn me down. Thank you, Larry. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. What a blessing. That was such, for me, it was a wonderful share from a member of AA. Thank you. My name is Kathleen H. I'm going to start this with the prayer I've been praying since I got told that I was selected because I wasn't at that Tuesday night meeting, and so evidently they picked me. So it was a meeting I missed, so, you know, what can I say? But the prayer is, may I say what I am meant to say. May you hear what you're meant to hear, whether I say it or not. HP is in charge. So I love Larry's format, so you're probably gonna go, oh, they must have talked, but we didn't. This is HP. I'm gonna talk about my experience, strength, and hope, and I'm also gonna use the 12 steps as the framework because that really is it. My experience, step one, admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Our lives had become unmanageable. I didn't know that. I am the oldest of 10, a large Irish Catholic family growing up in Oakland first and then Concord. My parents, we have alcoholism everywhere. I mean, it is everywhere. Generationally, it's in the next generation already. In fact, I just sort of made a partial list of the kinds of things we have in my extended family. We have alcohol. We have drugs. We have, for food, we have bulimia, overweight, anorexia, binge and purge. We're alcoholics. We're exerciseaholics. We're shopaholics. We're hoarders. We're smokers. We're gamblers. We have issues with sex. We have issues with anger, perfectionism, need to control, victim, and then I wrote, etc. Now, in relation to what I grew up with, my parents were devout Catholics, and my mother was not supposed to have any children, and if she did, she was going to die. So guess what they did? They had 10 kids. And I was number one, and so that was very difficult. They did not expect that. They were both about 20 years old. And they ended up living with her parents for a year and a half, or almost 2 years, I guess. And my mom went to bed, and the way she survived every single pregnancy is she was on the latest medicine so she should keep the baby. I don't have memories of my dad falling down drunk, but as a little kid, I remember her just chewing in the kitchen and my father and me taking her, you know, dragging her to the bedroom and putting her to bed. And then when she had the baby, she would have terrible postpartum. So she was pretty not there. And then my dad was a workaholic and a rageaholic who eventually became an alcoholic and died at a relatively young age. Having said that, I will say one of the benefits of the program is that I see and acknowledge the gifts I have received from my parents. They are countless. And I continue to work through my anger, resentment, frustration, and be willing to forgive and be forgiven for my part in holding on to things. So anyway, and my mom died of smoking, dad of the alcohol and my mom smoking. I lost a brother very early on. He was schizophrenic and used alcohol and drugs to survive and eventually committed suicide. And I had a sister in her mid-30s who supposedly was very healthy and had multiple strokes and died. 3 years ago, my youngest sister, almost died. She was significantly obese. She had multiple strokes, a heart attack, and her liver and kidneys are severely damaged. One of my other siblings and her husband have taken her in. We have a bit, just a bit of codependence in our family. And I'm the only one who acknowledges, has my belief about addiction and its effect, which is why I always go by Kathleen H, to not embarrass or cause discomfort with my family. They all know what I do. They all know I'm an Al-Anon-y. But she is about 3 years, in October it'll be 3 years, and it's really, really sad. And I must say, I really feel for everyone who talks in meetings about family members whom she's not on the street yet, but she is so not, in my opinion, using this opportunity and just returning to her old ways, yes, of being. Anyway, there came a point in my adulthood when I knew I was, excuse my language, fucked up. I mean, I looked good, professionally looked good, etc. But there was something that just was not working. I found an addiction therapist via my mother. And my mother, I think, till the day she died, regretted that, because that's where I found 12-step. And somehow I really changed after that. So I went to this therapist, and it was the late 70s, early 80s. And she basically required me to go to ACA, which was very active back then. It was amazing. That's when I first discovered the 12 steps. That's when I first did. I did a step four with a group of women in Concord. I'm going to get like in Concord at a women's shelter on Saturday mornings. And that's when I discovered the things that I was ashamed of and felt shame for, and like I was the only person who either did it or have it done to me. I discovered it. All these other women had same or similar experiences. I was not alone. I from a very young age, my nickname was Sega Mom, because I took care of everybody, including my parents. I got up, I made the coffee for both of my parents, took it to them. Then the latest baby, I went and changed the diapers. And we're talking about, I started doing this stuff before I started school. And as I started school, I took care of everybody, including my parents. I cooked by the time I was a teenager. Oh, and as soon as I was 16, not only did I cook, do laundry, et cetera, but I was also buying all the groceries and making sure kids made it to their dentist and their doctor, et cetera. That's just what I thought it was. That's what you did, you know. And as somebody who's been in recovery a long time, I do recognize that I had choices. And actually, at one point, I haven't totally looked at the choice. I could have chosen to not do that. But my fear then, and even as I say that, my fear now is, what would have happened? Would, you know, somebody come in and have spread us apart? You know what I mean? I mean, it was just, anyway, so I, and in fact, when I went to the ACA meetings, it was down in Dublin or Danville. And I don't know if the meeting's still there, but I was very aware that there was an Alateen meeting. There were all sorts of meetings there, but clueless as far as Al-Anon at that point. There was a point where ACA had some issues, and a lot of us went to other 12 steps. So I was in other 12 steps for a while. And then 2005, I was in Reno, Nevada, and I was at my bottom. I knew that I tried every single 12 step except NA. I knew I did not NA. I did every 12 step possible. And at that point, I'm out of state, And at that point, a lot of meetings are smoking, which was also difficult. But then I found, and I still have my newcomer packet. I found, and I still have it. I found the 5:30 p.m. Al-Anon Hope for Today Sunday meeting, and they had the Reno AA has, or at that point, had a separate little house, cottage, that they had their, like, kitchen, and it was also the non-smoking, where all the non-smoking meetings were. I showed up at that meeting, and I was the fourth person to be at that meeting. There were two gentlemen who were in multiple programs, lots of years in program, and there was this grandmother farmer who came from miles away, and I was number four. And they had a lot of recovery in Al-Anon, and I knew I was home. I knew it was the right place for me. And I felt so blessed. And that's where I got my first, because our meeting title was Hope for Today, all right? Now, having purchased this then, this shows the beginnings of my Al-Anon codependent perfectionist recovery. This is the only one they had, but you guys and gals, it had a boo-boo. It had a boo-boo. It had extra glue or something. And this thing doesn't totally come together. But I've managed to keep it together so far since 2005. But so the very fact that I was willing to buy a book that wasn't perfect because it was the only one they had, I love that, because it shows that I walked into that room and I'd had some recovery, but this was where home was. This is where home was. So those of you, this is a very old time beginner packet. Be aware, you know, I'll keep this until the day I die. I mean, this is really important to me. When we give people these, I know it's a much different form. It really means something to the person who got it. And it still means something to me. I can still close my eyes. Right now, I feel like I can feel those people in that room and the love and acceptance they gave me. So I then went to Albuquerque for a while, and that's where I got my first sponsor. And that's when I really began to work the steps. I'd worked them, as I said, some in other programs, but I started working them in earnest. And steps 2 and 3 came to believe a power greater than myself and made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of the I choose to call God, higher power. I grew up in a Catholic religion, very, very spiritual, very, very meditation, all that. But I had a very restricted idea of a male, very angry, limited, ruly kind of guy. And when I hit program, that created a little difficulty for me, because why should I trust that person? Why, or that God? I'd always taken care of everything myself. You know, I was in charge. I was in charge a lot. And I could do things. And, you know, it was sort of like, I used to say to people, it was like me and God. Okay, God, this is where we're going. Okay, let's go there. You know, all right. Okay, that doesn't really work. But that steps 2 and 3 is still a continual process of discovering areas where I have to ask myself, do I trust my higher power? I have to trust my higher power to be able to give over my will and my lives. Sometimes I decide I'm going to do that, and it's still a process to give up my old ideas or misconceptions or my limitations. I now have an image of a higher power who is surrounds me with a blanket of love. That's taken years to get there. And one of my big sayings at this point in time is, higher power loves me exactly as I am. And I love me exactly as I am. Mistakes, defects of character, shortcomings, coping mechanisms. I am willing to admit I'm human. I grew up believing I had to do and be everybody and everything for everybody. And then that meant I had to get, you know, validation from people. What a switch to be able to know that I have a higher power who loves me no matter what. Yeah, that's just, whoa. Step four, making a searching and fearless moral inventory and admitting it to God, to myself, and somebody else. Okay. My first inventory, as I said, was in ACA, and it was great. It was really, what a difference. When I got to Al-Anon, and I had a period of time where sponsors kept moving or dying on me, so I got to do the fourth step about 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, about four times, so I really got to work the fourth step. And what I learned is it's make a searching and fearless, not a fearful, a fearless. And that includes being patient with me. I'm not going to do it all today. I'm not going to do it all the hundredth time. I'm going to do what higher power has in front of me. And part of what is in front of me is to know that higher power loves me. And my job is to love me as a human being who makes mistakes. Now, that to me is part of my experience in Al-Anon, because I grew up having to be perfect. I still remember in eighth grade, my dad driving us to the Catholic school, and we're in the big VW bus, and my dad's feeling his beard and going, oh, and he got really mad because nobody told him that he hadn't shaved that morning. And I'm sitting in the car, and I go, okay, Kathleen, let's add that to our list this morning. What I get to check each morning, the dad's, I'm like, hello. That was how I lived life. And I've learned a total different way. And so when I look at steps 4 and 5, it's not perfection. It's how I am today, with the loving higher power I have today. And if my loving higher power is less loving today, maybe that's what I need to work on. And now I want to talk a little bit about, the admitting to God, ourselves, and another human being. Yes, it does start with God, because, and then again, that gets me back to, do I believe that my higher power can forgive me? So I get to ask that question first. And sometimes I know, yep. And sometimes I go, yeah. And other times I get to work on that, because in working on that, I work on my and my higher power's relationship. Okay, remove these character defects, and then humbly asking my higher power. And notice in AA, they use shortcomings and defects of character, purposely, two different words. I use a third one. Coping mechanisms. Growing up in an alcoholic, crazy family, I had plenty and still have coping mechanisms, including being in control, being, you know, super in charge, being perfect, etc. So those, when I look at them and say, okay, they're coping mechanisms, to me, it's a little softer than defects of character, shortcomings. The other thing that I went to, the first workshop I went to was Sister B. She's great. And she basically says, I'm not in charge of who removes and what gets removed. Higher power is in charge. And that was really helpful, because I was really worried that some of the things that are really good about me, that I really like, I didn't want to lose. No, what happens is a balancing comes into play, where I am no longer super this or super not this, but with time and higher power and program, I like to say, it. You know, people say it's not black and white. It's not gray in between. It's a rainbow of colors. And my job is to find the color it's meant to be right now. It's going to maybe stay that color. Maybe it's going to be somewhere else on the rainbow. But that's my job, to find out where higher power wants me to be at this time. Okay, I'll tell you one of my character defects that also is a good thing. And that is my perfectionism and wanting you all to be perfect. It causes me to be really a detail-oriented person, which really most people go, oh my God, she's a detail-oriented person. Oh no. And I also have a pretty good memory. And I have really worked, and I will continue to work on balancing that out and recognizing there are real benefits to being that kind of person. But let's not run roughshod over people. People have a right to do their own stuff. Oh my gosh, doing service, doing Dan Allen on. Oh, I had such a wonderful team. It was just so amazing to me to watch myself work together with the group. I loved our monthly meetings because we would have discussions that actually turned into, you know, group, you know, where somebody'd say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to say this because I don't want to upset anybody. And wow, their input really expanded what we were all doing. And I could sit back and go, this is not all about me. This is about the group doing this. That is one of the amazing things about service. It got me to really work on using one of the good parts of me without overusing it, which isn't to say that it's not a constant challenge, because it is. But I have awareness, I have a higher power I can go to and say, okay, I need help. Okay, list of persons harmed and direct demands when should do so. When I am currently doing the steps again, which let me tell you, I'm even though that's a little sarcastic, because I believe each time I do the steps, it's such a blessing. There is no beginning or end to doing the steps. It is really part of my ongoing recovery, layers and layers and layers and layers. So doing the steps on me was very revolutionary, and I've been in the program a while, and it's been really healing. Plenty of other people are there, but one of the things, list of persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all, direct amends wherever possible. Okay, I'm somebody who has a brain, who has dragged around this incredible Irish farm woman body for years and not paid attention to her. I am actually learning in my old age to begin to think about taking care of my body. Who knew? And that is causing sometimes a wonderful change. And other times I get to go, what do you mean, higher power? I really have to do this. But I'm actually listening to me and going, okay, body, you really are a part of me. I really appreciate all that you've done. And I'm going to make sure I have the right kind of food in the refrigerator. So when I open the door, it's things that are good for me. And not only is it good for me physically, but it calms me down, gets me into the present. I mean, this is the National Cathedral in DC in the spring with the cherry blossoms, because I can be outside walking for 5 minutes and all of a sudden, I just come back to me in my present moment. People sometimes, when I'm at work, I walk a lot. I, you know, drop stuff off, et cetera, rather than people say, oh, pick it up. No, because I need to, even if it's just walk, you know, a corridor, it gets me, okay, I'm in my body. Hello, body. Hello, body. So that's one of the things I'm working on now. Who knew? Now, also making amends. Sometimes I'm really clear on the amends. Other times it's a multi-layer process. And I'll tell you, I have a sister who she is dangerous to me. I just can't be around her. you know, but I am able to, at this point, at least to sometimes reach out and be kind to her. For a while there, I could have no contact with her. She was just too toxic. But at this point, having worked the program, as long as I have the ability to, you know, occasionally reach out to her. Just by text, you know, by text. And I hope the longer I'm in the program and the longer I live, that I will continue to grow in that amends. Because I always wasn't always nice to her. And I understand why, and I understand boundaries. Not good to be around her. Boundaries, I need to take care of me. But at the same time, one of the miracles of the program is that I can actually text her on her birthday and wish her happy birthday and things like that. I mean, who knew? I never would have. Oh, gosh, if somebody told me that I could do that, I would have said, you're crazy. Of course, you know, Al-Anon does help me deal with my craziness. Okay. Now, so, oh, and let me say one more thing about 8 and 9. Okay, I am like so good, you know, I've like so forgiven my mother and my father, and you know, I'm just really good at that. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was at the Saturday morning meeting. Yeah, okay. And I talked about something that's really moving for me. And that is when my mother was dying, and we were sitting around the kitchen table, she said to me, you know, you didn't really have any teenage years. It was her amends. It was her acknowledgement, which was just so precious. And because I'm in program, I can recognize it. But I then immediately said in the meeting, but you know, she never really acknowledged that I lost my childhood too. And it was like, ding. Okay, I get to work on that part of my amends, my part of my resentment. You know, they did the best they could, and boy, did they do lots of wonderful things for me. Things that have really made a fabulous difference in my life. Now, that takes a lot of years of recovery to be able to say that, but it also takes a lot of years of recovery to say, oh my God, what just came out of my mouth? Okay, I have some more work to do in that area. Okay, step 11. I'm somebody who has done prayer and meditation since high school. And it's a really important part of my life. And the thing that I say to people is that if I can meditate for 1 second, I have done a fabulous job. The idea of meditation is it's a practice. And it's a practice. I'm sure there's some people out there who can do it long term. I mean, I've been at Trappist monasteries for 10, 12, 14 days on my own silent retreat. And I know that there are monks there who are just amazing. But, you know, I got this voice, you know, just like, okay, Kathleen, you know, we want to talk. Okay, I want to do this. I mean, yeah. But the benefit of meditation is it's a practice. And to say to myself, okay, wow, I did 5 seconds. Whoa, who knew? And then there's other times it's the intentionality. It's the, I sit down in the morning, even if I get up early, I sit down in the morning. I do my morning meditation. I do reading from Hope for Today and Courage to Change. You know, I also spend a little time at night, but I do my morning meditation. Yes, there are other times when I set aside longer time, but prayer and meditation really do. It is, I'm going to use the word miraculous. And it's, to me, it's the intention. It's the choosing to do. And I'll tell you, I'm not the only person who says this. Those days where I say, oh, it's really busy and I don't really need to do it. So I'm just going to, and it's, I'm going to take off. And at some point during the day, go, oh no, Kathleen, stop right there. okay, let's take a few minutes. Even if it's in my car or whatever, close the door to my office. Okay, we didn't do it. We're paying the price. And usually the price is that I've gone off on some thing where I've forgotten higher power, and that higher power loves me exactly as I am, even if I've just made a whoople mistake. The other thing I want to say at this point is agnostics and agnostics and what's the other word? Anyway, it's not on my brain right now. I find that they have much to add here in Al-Anon. I have heard people who say, well, I am agnostic or I'm an atheist. But when they start talking about their, I'll use the term higher power, it's not necessarily the term they use, it lets me know that, wow, higher power, God, whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever, is just an amazing part of everyone's lives. And I've had some people, I've been blessed to be in meetings where people who say, oh, I don't believe in higher power. But then they start talking about what their whatever is. And it just increases my and expands my understanding of that I'm going to say blessing in my life. The other thing at this point, when I talk about prayer and meditation, just like when I talk about step 10, which I sort of, I missed step 10. Okay, that personal inventory, which is daily. And it's my words I use are do it now and do it ongoing and do it with gratitude. Gratitude really helps me change around. But the personal inventory is ongoing. And I have to tell you, and see, like, I'm totally embarrassed right now because I totally missed up for step 10. But I have to tell you a story from this morning. Okay, right. So I have been, you know, doing my note-taking and worrying, et cetera. Okay, and what am I going to say and all that? And so I woke up at 4:30 this morning, and instead of going back to sleep, I started saying, okay, well, what should I do? Can I talk about this? What should I talk about? Blah, blah, blah. And so I finally said, nuts, I'm going to get up. So I got up, and I went to, you know, look at my notes, et cetera. And I thought, gee, I'm going to get a cup of tea. And I didn't even have my glasses on, and I'm pretty blind without my glasses. And so I made myself a hot cup of tea, and I go to pick up the cup to go take to where I'm sitting, and I pour the tea all over the kitchen counter and down the side. And there is the perfect example. The old Kathleen, my dad hated that. I can just hear me saying, Kathleen, you're stupid. What did you just do? You didn't have your glasses on. You didn't turn the lights on, blah, 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 blah. And immediately I could hear this voice of laughter. And that's this program of going, whoa, Kathleen, look, you started beating yourself up. And then you just said, oh, well, and started cleaning up. And then you started laughing and said, okay, here's your step 10, for example, for tonight. You know, that, okay, this is ongoing. I'm not perfect. I'm human. I make mistakes. And my job is to take personal inventory when I'm wrong, admit it. And what I did this morning is admit I did something wrong. I wasn't perfect at it, but it's not the end of the world. It's okay, Kathleen. Continue on with your day. And maybe this happened so you'd have a 10th step example for today. So, and I just talked about 11. So, and let me say one thing more. Gratitude. When I can't do anything else, I do a gratitude list. Gratitude, I have a roof over my head that I love. I have a gratitude. I have Al-Anon. Gratitude. I have an Al-Anon meeting I can go to every single day. Do you know I've lived in places where if you could find a good Al-Anon meeting once a week, it was like a miracle. We have them all over the place. I'm native Bay Area, but I've lived other places. Okay, I'm going to spend a couple minutes on step 12 and then I'm done. Having had a spiritual awakening, okay, remember that's like this ongoing thing. Carry this message to others, practice these principles in all our affairs. Each of you who came tonight is carrying the message to others. Each time each of us goes to a meeting, we're carrying the message to others. I carry the message to my siblings. They all know I'm involved in Al-Anon. That means they sometimes tell me things like they had, you know, 6 hard liquors that night and still were able to go back to their hotel room, because they can confess that to me and I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to pray for them. I have siblings who have chosen, I was telling them about Day in Al-Anon and 2 of them chose to come. Who knew? You know that, and I just leave it at that. I leave it at that. They each have their own path, even if sometimes it's really hard for me. And those of you who have family members where it's really hard for you, you're such a good example for me that I'm not alone, and higher power is in charge of their lives. All right. Practicing these principles in all our affairs, that's everywhere we are. And now I end with an ad. And the ad is, service is absolutely vital for each of us. I'm talking about service for me, not only keeps me in the program, and Billy has talked about there's going to be a new panel. So this is my ad, my closing ad. And really look at that. Maybe you can be the GR for your group. I've done that. It's absolutely marvelous. Maybe you want to help with the Alateens. Maybe you're going to help Mike with Day and Al-Anon. You know, maybe you're going to help with literature. You know, really look at it. Go on the website, see what they are. Talk to your current group GR and find out what, meetings have lots of things. They have literature. They have speaker seekers, as well as the district level. It makes all the difference in my recovery if I'm doing service. And so I am done. And luckily, I think I did it. I left 1 minute. Phew. I got it done in 1 minute less than my final. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here.